Hello and welcome to Digging Deeper on Living Faith Television. It's truly an honor to be with you again on this Mother's Day weekend. We do want to wish a happy Mother's Day tomorrow to all of the mothers that are out there. We know that you guys work hard, and we're praying for you as you continue to be mothers in this difficult world. I want to open today with a story. A well-renowned public speaker was speaking at a large conference for church leaders. Here, pastors, deacons, Sunday school teachers, church elders, committee chair people, youth leaders, and more were present. During the lesson taught by the speaker, he asked the question, "How many of you pray for 10 minutes a day?" And while there were a few in the large congregation that raised their hands among the thousands, most did not. The speaker, who was a little concerned by this, asked again, "How many of you pray for 5 minutes a day?" Once again, a handful was added to the number, but most in the auditorium failed to raise their hand. And when all was said and done, the speaker learned that nearly 8 out of 10 people in a large auditorium prayed for less than 3 minutes a day. Have you ever considered? Perhaps the reason we feel so alone is very easy to determine. You see, when we acknowledge that many who are faithful church leaders have failed to even spend time with the Father, it becomes apparent to us why the devil has came into this world. So I ask you, what does your prayer life look like? What does your relationship with God look like? How committed are you to the Lord? Today I want to talk about a biblical mother, one who at the time of our encounter was not even a mother yet, but instead simply a warrior who trusted in the Lord. With that being said, you may have guessed that the scripture ahead is about Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, chapter 8. She was a woman who wanted a son so much that these scriptures show her faithful, pleased to the Father. Let's look at today's scripture. 1 Samuel 1, verse 8 through verse 20. "Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, 'Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am I not better to thee than 10 sons?' So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest set up on a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow, and said, 'O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.' And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart only, her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, 'How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee.' And Hannah answered and said, 'No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoke hitherto.' Then Eli answered and said, 'Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him.' And she said, 'Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight.' So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife. And the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son, and called his name Samuel, saying, "Because I have asked him of the Lord." Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you on this beautiful Mother's Day weekend that you have given us once again, Father, we're praying today that you would help all, but especially the mothers, to be dependent on you. Father, let them know where their hope comes from. Let them live their lives entirely for you. And Father, in their sorrow and in their joy, may they always give you all the glory you deserve. And Father, we're praying today that just as Hannah cried in sorrow, but she trusted in you, that we too would trust you. And that we would believe in the plan ahead of what you have in store for our lives. And that, Father, even in our sorrowful times, we wouldn't try to do it on our own. But, Father, that we would be completely dependent on you. Father, we pray today that you would be with us. Lead us and guide us through your word. And we say this in your name. Amen. I want to begin by talking about Hannah's cry. You see, when Hannah prayed to God, it was so much more than just a prayer. It was a sorrowful plea. It was a constant concern. It was a proclamation that the truth of who could solve her problem was God and God alone. It was an affirmation of the power she knew God possessed within her own life. Hannah's cry was a sincere plea to the Savior for the desire of her heart. When Hannah prayed, we learned that she prayed silently. Yet, her voice was heard loud and clear by God, friends. The presence of God in her life as she prayed was undeniable. And the Bible even says that Eli thought that she was drunk as her lips moved, but she did not speak with her voice. Her reply to Eli in that moment was, "My spirit is sorrowful." You see, in the time of Hannah, this whole ordeal was a big deal, friends. She could be looked down on and shamed for not being able to have children because in those times, it was considered a curse if she was unable to have children. You see, there was a couple of different things in play here that maybe we overlook a little bit. First off, Hannah was looking at her own shame as well as her desire in her heart to have a child. And I'm certain as she pondered these thoughts, she began to think, "Where can I turn?" And as her spirit continued to become more broken and her heart began to hurt more, she realized her need for God. She didn't just go to God in any old prayer. She didn't just go to God and say, "Grant me a son and it be over." But she went in a consistently mournful prayer to the Father, a plea, and even a covenant that He would give her a child, a man-child, and that she would give him over to the Lord. In her sorrow, she was able to find hope. And later on, we learned that the Lord granted her petition in verses 19 and 20, where it says this, "And they rose up in the morning early and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house to Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, 'Because I have asked him of the Lord.'" Friends, Hannah's prayer was one of sincerity and honesty, and she was committed to what the Lord would do in her life, even in her sorrow. But I want to bring about an issue that many of us face in our life. And I want to bring up a concern of my own in that, where do we stand? You see, on this Mother's Day weekend, we have heard the story of this sorrowful mother's pleas. And we know that she knew to turn to God. In fact, not only did she know where to turn, but she later knew how to respond. If we were to go on in Scripture, we learned that she praised God for the great work that He had done in her life. So we see through this that Hannah's trust in God did not end with her answered prayer. She was committed to God. She was constantly and faithfully a child of God. It wasn't something she lived one day and didn't live the next. She didn't ask for a child and expect God to give it to her and then forget about Him. She didn't forget about the promise that she made to devote Samuel to God. She kept her promise. She kept her end of the deal. She was a faithful follower of God. And in her sorrow and in her joy, God was always first. So let me ask you, is God your all? Is God your everything? Is God so significant, so important in your life, so important to you that you are willing to go to Him in your sorrows and also in your joys? Are you willing to praise Him in your wins and cling to Him in your losses? Friends, Hannah was broken, but she knew where to go. She was in sorrow, she was in pain, but she knew to go to the Lord. Where do you go? Where do you go when you are in sorrow, when you are in pain, when you are in joy? Do you go to the Lord? Do you call upon His name? Do you dwell in His presence? Do you know that He is your God? And He is your God always. Do you go to the well of hope that is our Lord? Or have you been found guilty of trying to march through this life alone? You know, it's a funny thing because we see people every day, but few of them really know us. Few of them really know who we are. Few of them really know our weaknesses and our strengths. And few of them really understand us. And the funny thing about that is there's one who does, and that is the God of hope that we hear of here in 1 Samuel chapter 1. But we choose not to dwell in His presence. We choose to live alone, even when we don't have to. And I'm afraid many today want to live a life completely independent, not just from each other, not just from their fellow man, but from God. Many of us have begun to allow ourselves to think about what can we do for ourselves. How can we do it on our own? How can I do this without communicating or talking with anyone else, and that includes God the Father? What can we achieve on our own? And what can we do apart from Christ? Friends, let me tell you today, apart from our God, we are nothing but flesh of the earth, and we can achieve and accomplish nothing. Apart from our God, we are hopeless. We are struggling, we are in despair, we are in pain, and we are just plain useless without our Father's presence in our life. Friends, if we don't have the Lord, we don't have nothing. We're going to be alone, and we're going to live like we're alone, that we can expect to get just that. But today, friends, our hope is found somewhere else. It's not found in what we can do. If our hope today is found in anybody else, I can about guarantee you they're going to let you down. If our hope is found in anything else, it will most certainly let you down. If our hope is in us, we'll always let ourselves down. But friends, there's one who won't let us down. There's one who knows us better than anybody, who knows our strengths, who knows our weaknesses, and the Bible tells us knows every hair on our head. But friends, if we're unwilling to live a life with Him, we can expect the results of that. We can expect to live a life in which we are constantly struggling, we are constantly feeling alone, we are constantly feeling in despair because we have chosen to live a life outside of the hope of the Father, outside of the will of the Father. And we read a story here about a woman named Hannah who was so in despair that she went to God. But even in her joy, she stayed with Him. So, where is your hope at today? Our hope is found in anything other than our Lord will lead us to despair and pain. But I can promise you, a life lived for God will not always be easy, but you'll never be alone. You see, the Lord has sent His Holy Spirit to walk this world with us. And as we choose to love the Lord, as we choose to live for the Lord, and on the moment that we make the decision to follow Him, we no longer have to live outside of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Instead, we have a guide, we have a leader in the Holy Spirit of God. You see, perhaps it's time we begin to look for this guide. Perhaps it's time that we begin to look to the Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us. And perhaps it's time, as Hannah acted here, that we go to the Lord with our cries and we keep our promises. Perhaps it's time we begin to look for Him to guide us and look for Him to take care of us. Perhaps we've learned that we need help. Perhaps we can't do it alone. You know, I think of many dear loved ones that I have in my own life who have chosen to live their life apart from the hope that is within Jesus Christ, apart from the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I begin to think, I begin to contemplate, maybe their life is like it is because they've chosen to try to do it on their own. And friends, maybe you're out there and maybe you think your life is in shambles. Have you considered that it's because you're trying to do it alone? I want to consider a thought. The modern American family. Think of it for just a moment. Just dad, mom, probably a couple kids, probably a dog, maybe a cat, depending on who, what kind of pet animal lover you are. Now consider this family in this story. The wife asks the husband, "Can you take a look at the sink? It's been leaking." Friends, I'm sure most of you have had this conversation. Women, you've probably had this conversation with your husbands. "Can you take a look at the sink? It's been leaking." He's probably sitting in the recliner watching TV and he's probably unwilling to get up. But you have to keep nagging him a little bit and eventually you might get him rolling. Well, I think of this story. The wife asks the husband, "Can you take a look at the sink? It's been leaking." And the husband responds, after much encouragement, "Of course, dear, anything for you." And the husband gathers all of his tools, I imagine. They probably hadn't been opened since he got them on Christmas Day. They'd probably been sitting in his garage, and he had no need for them, so he didn't open them. But he goes and he opens his tools 6 months later to see if he can take a look at this sink. He's excited for the opportunity to prove his ability to fix stuff to his wife. And so, imagine, he crawls under the sink and he begins to work on the sink, noticing a drip from underneath the cabinet and seeing where it is coming from. He grabs a wrench and he attempts to tighten it. Little did he know that there was a small crack in the fitting in which he was trying to tighten, and boom, water goes everywhere. And he is soaked, and the kitchen is soaked, and everything's wet. And he didn't know what he was doing to start with, so he probably should have never touched it. Yet, he did. So now let me ask you, was his attempt to prove himself really worth it? Now soaked in water and water going everywhere, they're left with nothing more than a big mess, and they still have the need to call a plumber. Perhaps, just as this man, many of us have tried to live our life alone, as we feel we cannot do it, or we can do it on our own, but we cannot do it, friends. Yet we have a proven Savior who came to this earth, who lived this life, and let me add to that, he lived it better than anyone, better than you and I ever could. As Jesus Christ dwelt on this earth, he was able to accomplish things that we couldn't even imagine. So I want you to consider Jesus Christ on this earth and how well he was able to live it. Was it not certainly better than you? Not certainly better than I? So I want to ask you the question. Have you had the goal, had the thought, mentality, whatever you want to, word you want to put there, throughout this life, to do it on your own? Perhaps we should consider that we are unqualified, that we are unequipped, and that we're pretty plain useless without the Father. Without His guidance, without His leadership, can we truly accomplish anything? So I want to ask you, by living this life alone, by constantly going about it on our own and trying to get better and do it ourselves, are we really accomplishing anything? And what are we trying to prove? Let us go back to our dear aspiring mother, Hannah. She made a vow early on in our reading to the Lord. She made a vow in verse 11, and she said, it says this, and she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. Vowing the life of her future son, Samuel, to the Lord proved Hannah's commitment to the Father. So after the vow, she prayed, she pleaded, and with her sorrowful heart, she was heard. And later, she was blessed with a son. Though her time with him was short, God blesses her with more children throughout her life. And the truth is that Hannah learned through her life that without God, she was nothing. So, let me ask you, where does God fit into your plan? Do you treat Him like the man in the short story, the plumber? Or do you call Him when you need Him? Or do you, as Hannah, live in His presence, knowing He is your Lord, and knowing that you will live for Him? Friends, if you're listening today, you may fall under a couple of these categories. You have never known God's presence in your life, but you've learned today who He is, and that you need Him because you are a sinner. You see, the truth is that we are all sinners, and without God, we will be nothing on this earth. We need the Father in our life. Perhaps today you are a follower of His, but you do not allow Him to be a part of your life. You still feel you can do it on your own. And even though you have heard that God is your Savior, you have failed to even let Him in the slightest bit be your Lord. Friends, I'm concerned today because many of us still want to live alone. But it isn't too late to have God in our lives. It isn't too late to let Him be our everything. I pray today that you would let Him be a beacon of hope in your life. so that you would not go in the direction in which you desire, but the direction in which He desires. Friends, let Him be your leader today. Friends, don't live this life alone another moment. And as you've heard today, trust in the Father in all that you do. Let's pray. Father God, as we come before you, and we thank you for giving us this word. Father, we thank you for Hannah and her willingness to follow in your will. And we pray the same upon our lives today. We say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen.